Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So you remember last week when Burrowhead was going around? Of course you guys do. Well, let me tell you that the person that started Burrowhead, his name is Mike Hilton. Now, Mike Hilton is actually he's a good corner. Mike Hilton is a good football player. He played really well in the game against Buffalo. And as you know by now, he goes over to the camera and he says this.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Let that sink in your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
So they were doing a lot of yapping. I don't got to tell you guys this. They was doing a lot of talking before the game. Well, let's examine how he played in the game. Because I don't mind the yapping. I don't mind the going back and forth. The back and forth can be funny. Mike Hilton on Sunday's game allowed 8 catches for 133 yards. I just want to say it one more time. Maybe you didn't hear me. Maybe, you know, the kids are in the back. They're yelling. They're screaming. Maybe you didn't hear. The guy who coined the phrase Burrowhead in a game in which the Chiefs lost Mecole Hardman, in a game in which the Chiefs lost Juju Smith-Schuster, in a game in which they lost Kadarius Toney, Mike Hilton got hit up for 8 catches for 133 yards on Sunday. Your contract should be voided. You want to know how MVS did against Mike Hilton? You guys want to know? 5 targets, 5 receptions, 109 yards, and a touchdown. That boy was out there getting cooked. Embarrassing performance. Rob, you can't look at the camera and do this.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Let that sink in your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
You can't look at the camera and do this.
It is so galvanizing and energizing that our Cincinnati Bengals are again in the AFC Championship. Yes, that's right. Who day, baby? Who day? I will be going on Saturday morning. I'll be arriving in Kansas City, so I'll be at the game at Burrowhead Stadium. See what I did there? No? No? Okay. I love that.
You can't look at the camera and do that and then get busted for 8 catches for 133 yards and give up a score. You can't do that. Your contract should be voided. He should be relegated to the XFL. That man was out there getting cooked. Did all that talking to get cooked. Did all that back and forth and yapping to go out there and get deep fried by Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Terrible work. You know what, man? The more and more I think about it, the more and more that I go back and I rewatch this game and I'm reading about this game, y'all deserve every part of this.
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They'll take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs Kingdom and got their ass thumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I don't know what the bank. I told them all holler at me. I told them last year they didn't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game. Let's go.
Man went out there and said all of that just to get deep fried on Sunday. Embarrassing work, Rob. Really embarrassing work.
You can't be all talk, no action, right?
All hat, no cattle.
Yeah. I mean, if he had played well, and he would have been, he had been a good corner this year. One of the reasons, we made jokes about the comments, but we didn't attack the messenger last week is because we were like, yeah, he's a good corner. It's not Eli Apple. You can get your Mike Hilton's good. But then they go get out there and get flame broiled by MVS, who I think we now know was an elite signing. Great job, Brett. Like I said all along, great job. Hit a new stride. That it's bad for Mike Hilton.
You know what I was thinking? Man, about Eli Apple. Eli Apple is the worst kind of trash talker. Eli Apple before the game was on Twitter going back and forth with anybody that would listen before the game. Eli Apple was going back and forth. He was giving Buffalo hell for a whole week. He told Shaq Lawson, it's a shame you couldn't keep that same energy on the field. Maybe the outcome would have been different. Enjoy Mexico with the homies. He told Stephon Diggs, safe travels to Cabo. His mom started a hashtag, love to hate Eli Apple, to donate $5,000 to the Salvation Army. And if you put that in a tweet, they were going to donate it. Eli Apple was front and center. All of the talking. You want to know how many tweets Eli Apple has sent? Zero. He lost his phone? He forgot the password? Eli, you had so much to say last week. You had so much to go back and forth. Eli Apple was smoking a cigar in the visiting locker room after beating the Buffalo Bills. We talked about it on the show, Rob. You've never seen a team celebrate winning in the second round of the postseason the way that Cincinnati was. They did a lot of talking. And now Eli Apple ain't got nothing to say. We haven't heard from him. We haven't seen him. He's not tweeting. He's not answering his phone. He doesn't like the picture on Instagram. He's just missing in action. Maybe he doesn't get service out of overseas. You know, Pat's in Kansas City getting rehab, getting therapy, getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. And Eli Apple is in Amsterdam somewhere. Maybe he doesn't get service over there. Maybe they don't have Wi-Fi. I've never been overseas. I don't know. Maybe they don't have the internet over there. I'm pretty sure they do, but maybe they don't. I want to play for you guys what MVS had to say. Listen to MVS. He was interviewed last night by Mitch Holtz. Listen to this.
People don't realize because it doesn't show up in the stat sheet. You get the big penalty on Eli Apple. That's the hold. That's an automatic first down. What about that play?
Yeah, you know, I was just whooping him all game, you know, and, you know, that was just another play where he couldn't cover me well enough and, you know, got the flag and we moved it up.
Was whooping him all game. Eli Apple is trash. Terrible. You don't believe me? The Chiefs are happy to tell you. Boys did all that talking before the game, man. All of that talking. It was fun. It was a good back and forth. But when the moment was big, the stage was the brightest, you was letting MVS cook you. Now you can't tweet. Now you got nothing to say. If you're going to be the villain, you got to see the villain roll through. You can't play the villain just when it's convenient. I'm disappointed in Cincinnati and their fan base, man. I thought y'all was going to show a little bit more heart than this, man. A little bit more gall than this. You fooled me. You bamboozled me. I feel very led astray by how Cincinnati has been acting the last couple of days since they got busted at Arrowhead a couple of days ago. Terrible work. All right, coming up on the other side, I am going to make my own petition So we talked about the Bengals petition to redo the AFC Championship game. I now want to start my own petition. I'll tell you what it is on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive, your spot to hear friend of the show, Andy Reid.
Call me anything you want. Call a lot of worse things than that right there now.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your home for Chiefs football in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. First to breaking news in Kansas City Sports Radio.
Breaking news, the Denver Broncos are nearing a deal to hire Sean Payton as their head coach per Adam Schefter. Denver will finalize a trade with New Orleans to close the deal, and that is expected to happen. Sean Payton taking over as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Rob, if we can, let's get somebody on from Denver to react to this at some point in the show. Not super, super urgent, but would like to get the Denver perspective of this as they have hired Sean Payton as their head coach. I think it's been pretty clear that the Broncos really wanted to take a big swing. I think it was Sean Payton or bust for the Denver Broncos. I think they've made that known from the very, very beginning of this coaching search, and I think the Broncos were desperate to do it. Think about it. The Broncos have committed themselves to Russell Wilson, and there's no real getting out of it. You have committed salary cap space, guaranteed money, and draft picks. Like, you have invested in Russell Wilson as much as any player in the history of the National Football League, and there is no getting out of that contract realistically for the next three seasons. So if you know that and you're stuck, there was only one available coaching candidate that could potentially help get you out of this situation. And because coaches don't count against the salary cap, you're willing to do whatever it took. I wouldn't be shocked if Sean Payton with this becomes the highest paid coach in the National Football League. Hey, I love my job at Fox. I've got a great job at Fox. But if you guys want me to come get you out of this situation that you've put yourself in, I'm the man for your job. You guys are trying to beat Patrick Mahomes. You guys are trying to beat Justin Herbert. You guys are trying to compete at the absolute highest level. You can't do that without my help. So now it's official. Sean Payton, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, the deal is expected to be finalized today. We'll see what the compensation is. Do you think Denver has to give up their first round pick?
Yes. I think Mitchell Schwartz said this on the show last week, actually, because of the timeline in which he retired from the Saints. If I'm the Saints, I'm thinking a year later, you're back in football. I need a first round pick. I need more than just whatever the Chiefs gave up to get Dick Vermeil. That was a few years removed. I need a first rounder. And the Broncos have a first rounder. They have the Bradley Chubb first rounder. So yeah, I think Sean Payton's going to have to cost a first. I cannot imagine a situation where he's not a first-round pick quality guy.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's the case, too. Once we see what the compensation is, we'll certainly share it with you. But Adam Schefter is reporting that the deal is final between the Saints and the Broncos. They're finalizing the compensation right now, but Sean Payton will be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton must believe that Russell Wilson is salvageable. I do think that Broncos fans can be slightly encouraged by what they saw the final five games of the season. Like, once they fired Nathaniel Hackett, I mean, they weren't good by any means. I would say that Russell Wilson also wasn't good. He also wasn't the worst quarterback in the league. And you can make a case that's what he was there for a while. He was Zach Wilson. He was bad. He was really bad there for the first 14 weeks of the season. And once they made the firing, he started to turn things around. It looks like we have a potential update right now when it comes to Adam Schefter.
I'm going to say I have the two packages if you want them.
I got them right now. Okay. Denver and the Saints have been discussing two potential packages for Sean Payton. Denver's 2023 first-round pick and next year's second-round pick for Sean Payton in exchange for the Saints' 2024 third-round pick. Denver's 2024 first-round pick and its 2023 fourth Saints choice. So those are the two potential packages for Sean Payton. So they are going to give up a first-round pick. It's just a matter of what else is going to be included with that. If I'm the Saints, I take the first one, wouldn't you?
For what it's worth,
the one that has the first and the second-round pick? If all I got to give up is a third-round pick to get that?
In that same vein, Ian Rappaport from 15 seconds ago, the Broncos and Saints just finalized the deal on compensation. Sources tell him New Orleans is getting back a first-rounder and likely a second-rounder, but they are sending a pick back with Sean Payton to Denver. So it sounds like option one was the option they took.
So no-brainer. Why would I not take that one? You know what I mean? Like, why would I not take that one? That's the obvious one. I can't even believe that was a choice. One of them, you get a first and a second, so you can get the 29th pick and the 51st pick, and I just have to give you the 76th pick to get it? Sure, you can have it. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. He wasn't going to coach our team next year anyway. Really good trade by the Saints. Really good trade by the Saints.
So if that's the compensation, the Broncos don't have a day one or day two pick, right? Because they lose their second rounder based on what we believe the compensation is. They lose their first rounder. They lost their third in the Russell Wilson deal. They don't pick till Saturday down at Union Station in April.
So I'm looking it up right now. The picks that the Broncos had, they have the 29th overall pick, pick 68, pick 69.
Okay, I didn't know they had two.
So, yeah, they have two third-round picks. So I assume that the Saints want the better of the picks. I don't know why you wouldn't want the better of the picks. So, yeah, that's good trade for the Saints. I mean, the Broncos showed how desperate they were. The Broncos just gave Sean Payton a boatload of money, and they gave a first-round pick for him. They are all in on Russell Wilson for this upcoming season. Like, you can't communicate that better. I will say this. We'll get back to the Chiefs. I'm not that interested in talking about teams that ain't make the playoffs, but the Broncos have told us for the last 4 years, there's a lot of talent on this roster, and all we need is a quarterback. If Sean Payton can't get the most out of Russell Wilson, nobody will. If you had to think, Rob, historically, what quarterback would you say is most like the one he had in New Orleans and Drew Brees?
I mean,
it's probably Russell Wilson.
Probably Russell Wilson.
If we're talking historically, over the history of the National Football League, what quarterback would you say is closest in skill set, size, stature to Drew Brees? The answer is probably Russell Wilson. You got a quarterback who, it wasn't that long ago that Russell Wilson was an MVP candidate, and you got a coach that has coached in and won a Super Bowl. It seems to me like there's no more excuses for the Broncos. You've got a top five defense. You've got one of the better head coaches in the National Football League. There are no more excuses for the Denver Broncos to not be a playoff team or a perennial winner. No more excuses for that to be the case.
I mean, we just talked about Brett Veach, the jump of the show, and how he built the right way through the draft and massaging the cap. George Payton, the Broncos GM, is going to do a lot of massaging the cap with Russell Wilson's contract and basically no picks.
Someone on the text line says, why does Denver have to give Sean Payton anything? He doesn't work for them anymore. Did he have to sign a non-compete or something? No, Sean Payton was still under contract. Like, you can't just retire and then come back and then you can just be a free agent. Like, that ain't how it works. Like, Sean Payton is still an employee for the New Orleans Saints. So if he wants to work again, he either can work for the New Orleans Saints or they have to trade him. So that's what happened with Sean Payton.
It's exactly what happened with the Chiefs and Dick Vermeil all those years ago. He retired after the Rams Super Bowl. He was still a Rams contract. The Chiefs sent some picks over and got him. And they got him and Trent Green, but that's moved.
You just can't retire, sit out a year, and then come back and be a free agent. And then you can just do as you please. No, he was under contract with the Saints. He then retired, which is your choice to retire. He got out of coaching, and now he wants to get back into coaching. You got two options. Come work for the Saints, or we'll trade you. That's it. So, yeah, the trade is official. The Broncos trade their 2023 first-round pick. They trade next year's second-round pick, Rob, so that's important. Next year, they don't have a second-round pick this year. So a 2024 second-round pick for Sean Payton in exchange for the Saints' 2024 third-round pick. That is the update on Sean Payton, who is now the newest head coach for the Denver Broncos. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Mike Pereira. We'll get his thoughts on the officiating in the AFC Championship game. Excited to catch up with Mike Pereira here coming up in just a bit. So before we got interrupted by the breaking news, I was telling you guys, well, number one, the Bengals also were a bad franchise for most of our life. The Bengals fans have started a petition that said, after watching this game and analyzing what we witnessed, I think it's safe to say that we should have a do-over. And the fact that it wasn't Chiefs versus Cincinnati, it was refs versus Cincinnati, they want a do-over, and they're encouraging Bengals fans to sign the petition. I'm going to start my own petition. I'm going to start my own change.org petition, and I'm signing it. Because have you guys seen the quarterbacks that are representing the AFC in the Pro Bowl? Now, I'm going to be real with you guys. I don't know what they're doing for the Pro Bowl this year. It's not really something that I've kept up with. I don't plan on watching it. I don't plan on being a part of it in any way. The Pro Bowl is mindless entertainment. And you want to know what the internet is full of? Enough mindless entertainment that I don't need to watch a second of whatever concoction they've put together for the Pro Bowl. If they want to get me back, do Rock and Jock the way they used to back when we were growing up. Then I'd be interested in the Pro Bowl. But the quarterbacks that they have, these are the final AFC Pro Bowl QBs. Trevor Lawrence, Tyler Huntley, Derek Carr. Trevor Lawrence, Tyler Huntley, and Derek Carr are the three quarterbacks that are representing the AFC in the Pro Bowl. I mean this as kindly as I can say it. Tyler Huntley might be the worst player that has ever made the Pro Bowl. He threw two touchdown passes this season. He threw three interceptions this year. He made four starts and threw 658 yards. How does he get to say that he made the Pro Bowl? The Pro Bowl is unserious. It's unserious. Tyler Huntley is a Pro Bowler. This is what makes the Eli Apple so funny to me is Eli Apple has still never made the Pro Bowl when literally everybody makes the Pro Bowl. Like, you weren't even good enough to be high enough to be an alternate. At this point, just let's get rid of these Pro Bowl games. Let's get rid of the concept of the Pro Bowl. Let's just have first team All-Pro. Second team All-Pro. If you want to do a third team and then an honorable mention, I got no issues with this. But Tyler Huntley, who threw two touchdown passes, now gets to call himself a Pro Bowler for this past season. The Pro Bowl is unserious, and we should never talk about it again. And you should be ashamed if you watch it on Sunday. Go take your wife out for a nice dinner. Go see a movie. Go see a play. Go do anything. Please do not support the Pro Bowl games or whatever activities that they have going on. It's shameful work. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Mike Pereira and discuss the officiating from Sunday's AFC Championship game. Did you guys hear this on Around the Horn? Once again, something has happened for the Chiefs, and now we got to change the rules to make it more fair for all the other teams in the AFC. Listen to this.
Joseph Osai was 1 second too late for the biggest play of his life. And to Frank's point, I just really don't know what more he could have done there. He's going full speed at Patrick Mahomes, whose foot is about 15% out of bounds at that point. And if you don't, if he pulls up, then Patrick Mahomes can tuck and, you know, run a few more yards, pick up a first down, and then some. Like, he was kind of SOL at that point, to be quite honest with you. And to add injury to insult, you saw him hurt his knee there. He said to reporters after the game that he's going to have to get an MRI today. It's just unfair. And that's not the play that they lost the game on. There were plenty more moments for the Cincinnati Bengals that we can lay blame on more than the Joseph Osai unnecessary roughness play. I think we need to take a look at the unnecessary roughness rule as a whole. That should not be a 15-yard penalty.
There are a lot of penalties that prove to be examples of why the rules could potentially be broken. Not when the quarterback is three steps out of bounds and got pushed. If you want to review something, let's start fundamentally over with roughing the passer. Let's fix that problem. That's a real problem in the National Football League. You know what there's not a problem of? There's not a problem of them calling penalties when guys are out of bounds. They actually do a really good job of calling those penalties. They struggle with some other things. They have never struggled with player is clearly out of bounds and gets hit. That's a flag. That's a penalty. This is not the hill to die on. I can't believe this. Of all the penalties we've seen in the playoffs, this is the one. How can we figure out how not to let the Eagles Smith catch, Devontae Smith? How can we figure out how that doesn't happen? How an obvious no catch in a game results in a team scoring a touchdown? Let's spend our energy fighting that and combating that. Why are we combating Joseph Osai pushing Patrick Mahomes when he's 3 yards out of bounds? Makes no sense to me. Coming up on the other side, we're very happy to be joined by Mike Pereira. He was an official for 25 years. He's a rules expert. Let's talk to him about the officiating in the AFC Championship game. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Nate Taylor in studio every Friday starting at 4 o'clock. And if you miss any of the conversation, listen on demand with the Odyssey app and 610sports.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kansas City, it's Brett Veach. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. He was an NFL official from 1996 to 2010. He is the current rules analyst with Fox Sports. Mike Pereira joins us on the show today. Mike, happy to have you on.
Happy to be with you. Thanks.
Mike, what do you say whenever fans tell you that they believe the NFL is rigged? What's your response in those situations?
I'd say that's, you know, for being the guy that was on the inside and know how it all works, it's one of the many great myths that sit out there. I don't even know how you would rig a game. I mean, I really don't. I mean, you worry about the gambling thing, and, you know, because the NBA kind of went through that with Tim Donaghy, but, you know, subject to, that's never happened in the NFL, and certainly nothing done from inside. So it's just one of those things that when you feel like that you get the short end of the stick, which sometimes you do, it's automatically saying that it's fixed. And when nothing could be further from the truth, and it's hardly even worth the response.
So yesterday we had on a sports talk host from Cincinnati, and we listened to some of their sports talk radio, and they think the officials were a major reason of why they lost the AFC Championship game to Kansas City. Do you think there's any validity to that?
Well, I mean, look, I've never felt like that you could ever pin one call on the outcome of the game. Now, you look at the call that was made for the late hit out of bounds, and certainly that has a big determination in the outcome of the game. But that's clearly a foul. That's not even one that's in question. But then you go back, and now people are saying, well, there could have been a hold on the left tackle, could have been a block in the back during the punt return just before the start of the drive. I mean, everybody looks for everything now, and it always ends up somehow in the lap of the officials. I was at the game in Philadelphia, and then I watched with great interest the game from Kansas City. I may have heard a little bit too much from Gene Steratore during the course of the Chiefs game, but to me, it was not the officiating this past Sunday. To me, I kind of describe it as messy. I look at all the calls, and I don't think the calls are really any better or any worse than a normal game during the season, but there was just too many things happen, like the play that basically got replayed, on the when Kansas City ended up that the game clock started and shouldn't. And then the whole thing turned into a further mess when Mahomes got sacked. But there was defensive holding on Eli Apple, which was a very good call. No question about that. So it's always, easy to try to pin it on the officiating, but in reality, obviously, I don't agree with that.
Right now, we're talking to Mike Pereira, who was an NFL official from 1996 to 2010. He's a current rules analyst with Fox Sports. I will say this is someone who is just a fan of the National Football League. I'm not encouraged by someone of your stature calling the officiating messy in the conference championship, and these are supposed to be the best officials and the best crews. I understand, a random game week two. All right, it might be a little bit messy. At this point, we shouldn't even be talking about the officiating.
But I think you have to kind of look and say, why? If I don't think that the calls were all that unusual, then why did it appear to be messy? And I think we're entering into this age of video assist versus expedited review versus a coach's challenge, and it just makes it look messy. I mean, look, you get in the situation with Mahomes, not being ruled down, and, then Cincinnati throws the challenge flag, but then they come out and say, well, after discussion means that, well, video assist looked at it, and so now you don't charge Cincinnati with the challenge, and yet you change it on the field. And that stuff makes it look messy. I mean, and it's the same way when in the Eagles game, you know, tough play with a Devonta Smith catch early in the game. Tough play. Looked to me like a catch. Now you've got the situation where the Eagles rush to the line of scrimmage, so it gives no one really a chance to look and find the defining shot, really the one defining shot that showed it. So San Francisco doesn't challenge, and New York, when they're looking to maybe do an expedited review, they don't have time to find it. And so, you know, it just that stuff becomes messy, and it's like the play where, you know, Kansas City got another play because it looked like the play was run, but then it got stopped and the clock got reset. What made it so messy? What made it look like that? Well, it's the fact that they moved the ball a half a yard because the replay assist, the video assist got involved and says the spot's off by a half a yard. So they run in late and move it half a yard, and then they have to reset the clock. And then, however, the game clock starts when it shouldn't. And so then the play looks like it goes on, but nobody hears the side judge blow the whistle. So they got a replay. That's all mess. I mean, it's all mess, and I think it's partly caused by this whole notion, and I think it's a good notion, of being able to correct things in real time with a video assist or an expedited review. But, you know, it just you try to overuse it, and I think it comes back and hurts you. I'm not pinning it on the officials. I'm just pinning it on the way that the whole game played out. I mean, from balls maybe hitting the guide wire on the overhead cam to the chains breaking again, and we have to find a second set of chains. All of it just seemed bizarre to me.
Right now, we're joined by Mike Pereira. He was an official from 1996 to 2010. He also was the rules analyst with Fox Sports. Do you think that officiating in modern football is maybe too reliant on instant replay?
Yeah, I'm getting that. I'm starting to get that feeling. Somebody asked me and this is a tough one, but I'll tell you, somebody asked me if I thought officiating was better today, and my response is, I think the officials are better than they've ever been, but I don't think the officiating is. And my response to that, when people say why, is just because technology and communication has gotten so involved that they're being told what to do in so many instances, as opposed to reacting and being responsible for doing it themselves. And that's, they're going through this period of time where they're trying to get used to that. We're getting more calls right. I mean, they're using this video assist probably four or five times a game that you don't even know it, where they adjust the spot by, you know, a yard, an out of bounds spot, or they rule a first down on the field, but you can quickly see that it's short, so they move the ball back. No announcement is even made. So, in essence, you're getting it right, but I do think it's hurt the accountability factor of the officials to have to make sure on their own that that the call is right. It's like back in my day, you threw pass interference. If you threw the flag for pass interference, you had to get it to the right spot. You. No one came. So after the play was over, you had to make this mental image of where the spot was, and then you go adjust your flag. Now, you know, they're getting on the end of their ears going, put the ball at the 32.5. It's just a different time when it comes to officiating. And overall, it hasn't been bad. But, you know, it just sneaks up on you, and then you get these games. And we could also go into this thing of all-star crews versus, you know, solid crews, you know, working as a crew as opposed to all-stars, and that could play into it with all this communication. But all I'm hoping, I just want to move on, and I want to move on to the Super Bowl, which we will have, and I'm hoping like hell that we don't have this type of discussion going on after the game.
Right now, we're talking to Mike Pereira here for a couple of more minutes. He was an official from 1996 to 2010. He's a current rules analyst with Fox Sports. You are going to be on the broadcast for the Super Bowl. What can you tell us about the officiating crew for the Super Bowl?
Well, again, it's an all-star crew. Carl Cheffers is the referee. It's his third game as a referee, third Super Bowl game, which is terrific. He's a real solid official out of California. He's known, quite frankly, to lead crews that over the course of the season call a lot of fouls. But again, this is an all-star crew. So you have to throw the statistics out of the book. These guys haven't been working together for the entire season, and maybe in some cases never. You've got a couple of guys that have never worked the Super Bowl before, which is typical. You know, he leads a good game, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it's not over officiated, and hopefully we don't have, you know, any roughing the passer situations. Remember, Carl Cheffers was the one that called the roughing the passer on the play with Jones. Was it against the Raiders? I don't know who it was.
It was the Raiders.
Where the ball got knocked loose, and then they said he landed on top of the, you know, of Carr with all of his body weight. And of course, there was an uproar about that, including me, who shouldn't have tweeted, but I did. I said I was in L.A. watching the game at a bar with a bunch of Kansas City fans, and they're all yelling at me. And then I wrote, I should stop there and not say I don't blame them, which I did say. But that call will be brought up. It will be brought up. But then the league defended the call and said it was clearly a foul. And they even sent out a memo to all the teams saying that it was a foul. So let's hope we don't have that. And, you know, I said in an earlier show today, when it comes to roughing the passer, it seems like because of a couple of these high-profile plays that it's like such a big thing. And in reality, I've never seen anything like this when it comes to player safety, roughing the passer. In 2021, there was 153 roughing the passer calls made. In 2021. In 2022, 93. 60 less. I mean, that's an incredible stat. And so I hope that that 60 less mentality plays into the Super Bowl, and that we don't have anything that creates a lot of controversy around the quarterback.
Mike, this is my last question, and just somebody that watches football. When you tell me that Carl Cheffers is a good official, and then you tell me that his crews normally call a lot of flags, that's not the kind of game that we want in the Super Bowl, though. So when you guys are grading these kind of crews, how much did that factors in? You and I both want to see a clean played game, but we also want the game to have a flow to it, and we don't want it continuously stopped by a lot of penalties. What's the balance in calling the game fairly, like we all want, but also keeping that momentum of the game moving forward?
Well, I mean, you have to look at Cheffers' crew and say, okay, they called the most. Now let's see, how did they grade out? And if you grade out the best, then what do you do? I mean, it's like the San Francisco Eagle game in that one stretch of defensive penalties. There were three that were called in a row. They're all fouls. I mean, you can't ignore them. Sometimes matchups play into that. But, you know, I mean, when it came to this weekend and we had a lot of fouls and we had a lot of this messiness, I mean, I was on the air too much. I mean, I got onto the game talking about too many things, and I don't think people want to hear from me and don't want to hear from Gene Steratore. And so hopefully you don't hear from us very much. But again, you know, you're looking at individuals here, not crews. And, you know, traditionally in the playoffs, the number of penalties go down. I mean, that's just the way it is. Usually it's because there are less disciplined penalties in terms of false starts and defense offsides, but we'll just have to see. Nobody knows.
That is Mike Pereira joining us on the show today. He has been an NFL official from 1996 to 2010. You will see him on the broadcast for the Super Bowl. He is the rules analyst. Mike, we appreciate you coming on today.
You got it. Take care.
Absolutely. That's Mike Pereira joining us on the show today. I don't hope that we have to have Mike Pereira on Monday. Rob, you agree. If Mike Pereira is on the show the week after the Super Bowl, something went terribly wrong. Something went terribly wrong if that's the case. This has been my question regarding the officiating from the very, very beginning of time. I am all for getting the calls right. But I do think there has to come a point with the public. There has to become a point with, we are never going to get 100% of the calls correct. So there has to be a balance in game flow while simultaneously trying to keep the game fair. I do think that football and sports in general are too over-reliant on replay. And I understand our desire to get these calls right. But I would argue that instant replay has been a net negative for sports over a positive. I know it's a cross-sport comparison, but we all watch college basketball games. College basketball games will stop because of free throws. They'll then stop, and we'll have to watch for the next 3 minutes to see if a ball went off a guy's finger. And all the while, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, man, I don't know. I can't really see this. I don't think that's what instant replay was intended for. Like, we now use instant replay because our desire is to get every single call perfect and just right, that everybody agrees that this is right. That is impossible. And I think now we've asked officiating to chase something. We've asked them to chase perfection, knowing that perfection is not achievable. And that has really been a handicap to officiate. I am not here to let the officials off. I am as critical of the officiating in the National Football League as anybody. But I do think that there is an unrealistic expectation to get every single call right, when that's not my goal with officiating. My goal is for them to be consistent in how they call the game. I don't like the way that they call roughing the passer, but call roughing the passer that way every single time so we know what the rules are of the game. And that's not how the game is officiated. To hear Mike Pereira, who was an official for 20-something years and gets paid to explain the rules to us, tell us, well, you know, Carl Sheffers, man, he's a good ref, man. Good, but his crews normally call a lot of fouls. No, then that guy shouldn't be on the Super Bowl. That's not the guy we want. For him to call the officiating messy in the two of the final three most important games of the season is a problem. These are supposed to be the best officials that we have. How can we simplify the game? Again, I know it's a cross-sport comparison, but most of us watch basketball. In basketball, there's really only one subjective call. It's block charge. There's one. There's 15 of them in the National Football League. Everything is subjective. Everything. What's a catch? What's forward progress? What's roughing? If we want to improve the officiating in these sports that we watch, we got to find a way to simplify them and make the rules far more straightforward and less complicated. Right now, they're too complicated and too convoluted. And we have to lose this expectation that they are going to get 100% of the calls correct. They are not going to do that. Let's find a balance between consistency and game flow. And I think if they did that, I think in the end we would be happier with what the game is and how the game is officiated. I don't think we'll ever be happy. We got far too much information now. It's too much. It's way too much. Let's figure out a way to simplify the officiating. Coming up on the other side, if you missed it, we caught up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We'll play our conversation for you on the other side. Come right back. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.